4 degrees now in Jacksonville.
The following program is sponsored. The opinions and statements made by the hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect the views of WBOB or its parent company, the Chesapeake Portsmouth Broadcasting Corporation.
Well, the hyperbole of the left is just beyond the pale, like nothing you've ever seen. Welcome to the John Fredericks Radio Network and the John Fredericks Show, booming away across America. I am your Godzilla of the truth, trucking it every day, and you're going to get no gibberish here. Boy, I did the TV circuit yesterday. I'm on headline news again today. I was on CNN twice, Al Jazeera, and had a debate with Maria Cardona. You know, if you're a liberal now or you're part of the left, all this is to you is a way to get more votes and change the narrative. It has nothing to do with substance or fact whatsoever. As far as this separating children at the border, first of all, they're not separated at the border. The first pretense of what they say, the host, well, children are being separated from their parents at the border. No, they're not. They're being separated from their parents if they cross the border illegally, break the law, and are apprehended. That's when they're separated. Because when they're apprehended, those that broke the United States law are taken in for processing. And the minor children are taken into Child Service HHS custody, just like everybody else in America. This is what is dumbfounding to me. It is no different than anybody in the U.S. who gets arrested and minor children are in their company and there is not another parent there or legal guardian to give them to. They are taken by the government authorities and put in child services. And then you have to go figure it out. And if you don't have any money and you can't post bail and they don't have another parent at home, guess what? They will stay in child services until you get out of jail. Or you can process a guardian or a sponsor. And that is weeks, no different. So if you're an American working poor person, you have one set of rules that you have to follow. But if you're an illegal immigrant that's not a citizen, you have more rights in the justice system in the United States, according to the Never Trumpers, than the citizen does. Now, you tell me how this makes sense. If you don't want your child separated from you, don't break the law. I mean, how difficult is this to comprehend? Border crossings in the United States, apprehensions are up to 50,000 over the last 3 months. That is three times what they were last year. Why? Because they all know, get here, you get amnesty. And you better do it now before they put up a wall. That's why you're getting this surge. And the president ran on curtailing it, not on open borders, which is what the Democrats and a lot of Republicans want, open borders. Because what is the alternative to this? Catch and release. The Obama plan. Catch, release. Go into the country. Get some paper at work, lose it, and they're gone. I mean, the only alternative is to release all Central Americans that arrive at the border with a minor child into the United States. This is called catch and release. That's the alternative. Otherwise, you have to take the kids to jail with the parents. I mean, if you break the law, you have a consequence in the United States. You don't get a free ride. Or anyway, most people don't. Citizens don't. But I guess illegals do. I guess illegals now can get whatever they want. Well, they're coming for asylum. No, they're not. Let me just give you some facts. See, the left has no facts in this argument. All they have is emotional hyperbole. You're ripping the baby's mouth from the nipple of the mother. Oh, stop. There's not one instance of that. That is such garbage. It's just not true. It is lies. Like the new big lie they have is, well, if you go to the border and you ask for asylum, you're separated. Wrong. If you go to the border and you ask for asylum, you put in an asylum application and you are put in a holding facility at the border with your family. If you illegally come into the United States illegally and you're caught and apprehended, illegal entry, and then you say, I want asylum, then you're separated because now you're illegal. You broke the law. So the people who are going on television and saying they're separated at the border in claiming asylum is a complete lie. And I tell you what, I called them out on CNN last night twice. I'm like, you're entitled to your own opinion. You can't make up facts to bolster the emotional aspect of your argument. If you are at the border and you claim asylum, you are not separated from your children. The government has said that. Kirsten Nielsen has said that, and there's no evidence of this happening. That's the U.S. policy. Follow the rules. 5 years ago, 1 in 100 people who came to the border claimed asylum. Now it's 1 in 10. Pretty soon it's going to be 1 in 5, and then it's going to be everybody. If you give everybody asylum, you've got open borders. You got to go through a process. You got to go through an interview, an application. It's got to be reviewed. And if it's turned down, you have to go back to your country and get repatriated. Not our problem. There are 7 billion people in the world. You want to take every one of them in? Every one of them would love to come here and get free stuff. 7 billion people in the world. That's the alternative here. There's no alternative other than release them with open borders. Now, what the Trump administration's objective here is to process the lawbreakers as quickly as they can, reunite them with their children, get them out of the country, and repatriate them back to their sovereign country. And they want to send a message, don't come illegally. You have to apply. You have to go through the process. Whatever perverted process right now on immigration we have, it is what it is. But coming over the border illegally and breaking the law is not part of the deal. And we're only talking about the 50,000 a month that are being apprehended. Some estimates say that's about a third of the people that come over. Though there's another 100, no record. Those who come over the border illegally, are they or are they not knowingly breaking a U.S. law? These are the questions I'm asking on television. Are they or are they not knowingly breaking a U.S. law? Why break our laws and put their kids at risk? Like, who does this? Well, they're fleeing persecution. Well, I'm sorry. Each child that we put into HHS, into Child Protective Services, that is illegal, cost $35,000 a year, is what we fund them with. Do you know that that's more than a low-wage income parent makes? So again, illegal aliens coming into the United States are better treated than the working poor kids of the United States who are citizens. 25,000 people tonight slept under a drain pipe or a bridge in Los Angeles. Who's funding them? Oh, they're no good to the Democrats because they don't vote. Got it. Sorry I mentioned it. Those seeking asylum are not separated. The object of zero tolerance is to act as a deterrent, not an amnesty magnet, as we have seen. This is why this thing is so ridiculous. This is the first president who said, I'm not going to do open borders. I've had enough. And so, yes, there's going to be some short-term hand-wringing of pain, and I'm sorry. Don't bring your kids here illegally. That's the message. Not bring them, and we're going to catch them and release you. It's unbelievable. Right now, what the Democrats and a lot of these Republicans want is a two-tier justice system. If a poor U.S. citizen is arrested for shoplifting at the local Food Lion to feed their kids and they're apprehended on the way out and they have three minor children with them, guess what happens? Do you have any idea what happens? Do you think when they're handcuffed and taken in for processing to the local jail, what happens to those three children who are with them in tow, the minor children? Do they go with them? Do they have a special mommy cell or daddy children cell? No, they're processed and put into a holding cell for God knows when. They can't make bail. They don't have the money for that. And so what happens to the three kids? They're taken, they call child services, and they're taken away and put in child services protective custody until it's figured out. And if they can't make bail, it could go on for weeks and weeks until they get a hearing. And then if they're sentenced for a month or 50 days or 60 days, they're still with child services until you get out or you have a guardian that's legal. I mean, this is the United States justice system. So now we're going to have two sets of rules, one for illegals, the other for people who are poor, happen to be citizens. I'm telling you, this is the ever-enduring unholy alliance between Democrats that want cheap votes and some Republicans whose big donors want cheap labor, and they will stop at nothing. Now they're using these kids as a political football and a political weapon, which they're blaming Trump for doing. He doesn't want them here. He's saying, don't come illegally. How tough is that? Don't break the law. Don't steal. Don't kill. Don't do fraud. Don't break the law. We have laws. This is a law. This is United States law. Don't do it, or something will happen to you in the form of legal justice consequences in the United States. That's the law. You break it, it's not good. Illegal immigrants have been flowing over this border under the George Bush, Bill Clinton, all of them. You lump them all in. It's all an open borders policy. Catch and release. Catch them, release them. Open borders. Cheap labor. They just think we're stupid. It's cost us jobs. Wages have gone down. Schools are over flooded. I mean, I talked to a friend of mine the other day. Moved here. I'm not going to tell you, the school enrolled his child into a middle school, sixth grade, went there the first day, 27 kids in the class, 20 of them didn't speak English. Now, how is that a learning environment? Go figure that one out. Nothing the school can do. They enroll with an address, they have to take them. Period. Sorry. So who's screwed here? U.S. citizens and the poor. Because if you have enough money, what do? You put your child in a private school. So you know what? For all these limousine, wine and cheese eating, caviar liberals, why don't you stop whining and why don't you get in your BMW $100,000 SUV or your Mercedes or your Lexus and why don't you drive down to Texas or New Jersey or wherever these kids are and why don't you foster them and adopt them? Bring them home, feed them, take care of them. 2, 3, 4, 5 at a time. You've got a lot of money. Do that. Stop talking and act. Do it. No, you're not going to do that. You want the poor schmuck American taxpayer to get stuck with the bill. You don't want to do it. It's all phony. They're outraged. This segment brought to you by America First Policy. Sean Spicer coming up momentarily, June 12, 2018. Hey, that's a day that's going to be remembered forever. When leaders from North Korea and the United States shook hands for the first time. Remember that? And it took place at Sentosa Island. Sentosa, translating to peace in English, ushering in a new era. Both sides signing a promising joint declaration calling for formal diplomacy, returning the remains of fallen soldiers from the forgotten Korean War. and most importantly, the complete, irreversible, and verifiable denuclearization of the Korean Peninsula. Now the real work begins. North Korea has promised to rid its nuclear weapons before, and they failed to deliver. The road ahead is long. That's why sanctions, the president said, should stay in place. American troops will remain stationed in South Korea. Will this time be different? Americans must remain steadfast. Peace through strength. Call Congress today and tell them to support the ongoing diplomatic efforts to denuclearize the Korean Peninsula. 202-224-3121. 202-224-3121. For more information, go to AmericaFirstPolicies.org. That's AmericaFirstPolicies.org. This message paid for and authorized by America First Policies Incorporated. Joining us now, my old and good friend Sean Spicer. He used to be the press secretary, the first one for President Trump. Prior to that, he was the communications director in charge at the Republican National Committee, and he's now writing a book, which is going to come out pretty soon. We'll talk about that in a moment. And now he's a senior advisor for America First Policies. Sean, good to have you with us.
Thanks, John. Good morning.
Frame the upcoming midterm elections for us. What do Republicans have to do in Congress to hang on?
Well, I think a couple things. One is to keep reminding people of what those tax cuts that the president fought for and got are doing to our economy, are doing to job growth, are doing to wages, because, you know, it's one of those things that I think people in Congress sometimes they pass something and then they forget to talk about it. They need to remind people every single day what's happening. They also need to remind people of all of the other things that the president has been able to do, from ISIS to deregulation to fighting for veterans. All of those things are crucial because, you know, so many of us lead busy lives. We've got families and other obligations. And it's incumbent to these guys to make sure that people who are seeing a better country, who are seeing a better economy, who are feeling safer for a myriad of reasons, understand that it is because of the president's policies and their votes in Congress that are doing this. And frankly, the other thing is the binary choices exist. This would not be possible if you had a Nancy Pelosi in charge of the House or Chuck Schumer in charge of the Senate.
So, look, no question about that, right? So the Republicans are going to run on the economic resurgence in the country. What about what is going on now with the zero tolerance policy and how the fake news media has really twisted this whole thing three ways to Wednesday about the separation of children from their parents when they come over the border illegally? How do you see this being solved, Sean Spicer?
You know, I stand with the First Lady on this one, in the sense that we are a nation of laws. We do need to respect that. But we're also a compassionate, loving nation. And I think that that's why so many people want to come to this country, because of the opportunity, because of the compassion that we as a people have and have always had. So I would urge and hope that Congress gets together and realizes that, you know, there's so many things at stake here for families and lives, that let's figure out how to address this ASAP. It is a front burner issue. One of the things that we've always realized about Congress is that it usually takes some kind of major issue to bring something like this to the forefront. It's here right now. It needs to be dealt with. And I would urge both sides to just stop finger pointing for once and recognize that we have real work that needs to get done and do what they can to solve the problem.
Sean, in your judgment, do either of the two immigration bills that have come out of the Republican leadership now, the Goodlatte bill or the more moderate, I guess, Paul Ryan bill, do either of those really solve the issue?
I've got to be honest with you, John. I have not spent a ton of time. I know from the president's perspective, I don't think it has the wall funding that he wants in a bill. So, and on that score, I'm not sure that it does everything that is necessary politically to get done. I think that, you know, I don't know the answer to this, because I think that there is a big political question, which is, what's the Senate going to do? The president has indicated that he would sign either bill. And so now the question is, what can actually get through not just the House, but the Senate?
Right.
And that's what I think is important, because at the end of the day, look, it is unsustainable what's going on now, immigration-wise. Right. And I think we need to sort of, like I said on the earlier question, there's a degree to which both sides have sort of postured, but an issue like this at some point boils over. And I think that it would behoove everyone to sit down and say, I get it. Like, you guys have serious questions about this. We have serious questions about that. But here are some areas where we can find some common ground, and also where we recognize that, that the Republicans do have the majority and that we don't need to back down. We just need a handful of Democrats in the Senate to go with this. And frankly, considering some of those Democrats in the elections they're in, whether it's Heitkamp or Joe Donnelly, there's enough Senate Democrats in Trump country that we should be able to get the votes to make this happen. So I've sort of grown tired of the football piece of it, and hope that the House gets this thing over to the Senate, and then McConnell puts it up for a vote, because we can keep talking about what won't pass, mm-hmm. but until you put the ball in play, you'll never know.
I've only got a couple more minutes, Sean. I know you have to take off. We're with Sean Spicer. Sean is the new senior policy advisor for America First Policies. That's the number one political action committee dedicated to supporting President Trump's America First agenda. Sean, so personally, what inspired you to join America First Policies, and then tell us about your book?
Thanks. When I left the White House, I told the president very clearly that I would do everything I could to continue to support his agenda, his policies. America First, as you pointed out there, is the preeminent effort to bolster his policies, to get people on board, to make them, to engage them, make them aware. And so I wanted to do something to help continue to be supportive of the effort. And that's why I did it. And then with respect to my book, I mean, it came down to a simple proposition, John, which is this. I was going around the country and the world giving speeches and showing up at places. And time after time, somebody would stand up and say, I read that you felt the following way. I heard that in a story you did this. And frankly, I started to realize that if I wanted my narrative to be written by Politico and the New York Times and CNN, then, you know, that's where it was going to stand, unless I actually wrote my own account and then could say, well, actually, if you want to know how I felt, look it up. It's in my book. I wrote it all down. So I felt after several months, I wasn't intentionally going out there, and I wrote the briefing, which is now available for pre-order on Amazon and Barnes & Noble, but because I wanted to have my account in laid out in history.
All right. Well, I'm going to have to buy it. I have not read that, Sean, but I am going to have to buy it. But I do have to give you a plug to my audience. I go back with Sean a long time, and as a White House correspondent, I thought Sean Spicer was the best press secretary in the history of press secretaries. I thought he did a great job. And Sean, when you were there, I never missed one. I couldn't wait to go because there was so much fun, and you actually gave reporters information. Not so much now, but when you were there, I mean, you gave information. The people that criticized you, like, I'm like, you know what? I can't believe you're doing this, because you actually gave reporters real meat every day. And I think you're the best press secretary in the history of press secretaries in the United States ever. So I look forward to reading your book. You did such a great job. Plus, you were funny. I mean, there was not a day.
Funny. Still,
you are for there was not a day I went in there I didn't laugh at something you said. You have a great sense of humor, and you were funny, and it was a lot of fun, and you did a great job, Sean.
Thanks, John. I appreciate you having me on, and look forward to being back with you as well.
Plus, you helped get rid of I got to say this, you don't have to comment, of Anthony Scaramucci, who I thought was a complete whack job. So good job on that, John.
It's all in the book, The Briefing.
That guy was a whack job, man. John Frederick's Radio Network. Sean, great to have you on. Go order The Briefing on Amazon.
John.
Thanks, man.
You're listening to The John Frederick Show. Common sense for the Commonwealth. On great talk radio, AM 600.
101.1 FM, WBOB.
With SRN News, I'm Ron DeRockstra. President Trump's in Nevada today fundraising for Senator Dean Heller. He'll also address the state's GOP convention. Mitt Romney, meanwhile, making his final pitch before Tuesday's Republican Senate primary, where he's facing conservative state lawmaker Mike Kennedy. The winner faces Democrat Jenny Wilson for the seat being vacated by retiring Senator Orrin Hatch. In Oklahoma, more traditionally conservative Republican voters seem to favor medical marijuana, and that could ensure passage Tuesday of a medical marijuana ballot question and make Oklahoma the latest to join the growing list of states where pot is legal in some form. Governor Mary Fallon says the question is so broadly worded, though, it would essentially allow recreational use of marijuana. If approved, Fallon said she intends to call back the legislature for a special session on regulations and sales. This is SRN News.
Download WBOB's mobile app for free from your app store. Powered by Duval County Judicial Candidate Kimberly Sadler.
Hey, folks, Dave Ramsey here. Stop wasting money on bottled water and hard water costs. Get yourself a Kinetico system, the only non-electric water-powered hybrid on the market to both soften and filter your water. Go see my friends at CGC Water, a third-generation family business for over 65 years, and your local authorized Kinetico dealer. With the Kinetico system, you can save money on water heating bills and cleaning supplies. You can spend less time cleaning soap scum, lime scale, and spots on dishes and glasses. It removes chlorine so your skin and hair feel softer, and it helps prevent laundry fading. Plus, a Kinetico system can actually lengthen the life of your appliances that use water up to 50%, and it protects your pipes from buildup. You can trust Kinetico. Get a Kinetico system today and start saving money. Call CGC Water at 904-645-6060 or visit cgcwater.com.
Here's some great news. If you missed the deadline to sign up for a health care plan, or more importantly, if you signed up for a plan that you're just not happy with, you still have a choice. It's called MediShare. MediShare is a Christian healthcare sharing program. It's been around for 25 years. They have hundreds of thousands of members all across the country. And get this, over the years, MediShare members have shared more than $2.5 billion of each other's medical bills. Best of all, you could save a lot of money with MediShare. The typical savings for a family is about $500 a month. Your savings may be less or more, but think about what you could do with that extra money every month. So if you think you're stuck with a high-cost health plan that doesn't have much to offer, think again. You can join MediShare anytime, so call them today and check it out. Here's the number to find out more. There's no pressure. They're super easy to talk to. 877-64-BIBLE. That's 877-64-BIBLE. 877-64-BIBLE.
The 2018 election season is underway. WBOB is your 2018 election authority. Every candidate.
Our friend, State Representative Matt Caldwell, one of the Republicans running for the Agriculture Commissioner.
Every issue.
How is it possible that Hillary Clinton, her campaign, the DNC, are not under investigation for collusion with the Russians?
Every day. WBOB, your 2018 election authority. The latest traffic and weather on WBOB. Your 2018 election authority.
Great looking weather outside. And also, we're accident free. That's a good thing. All around Metro Jacksonville, I-95, I-10, the east and west beltway in good shape this afternoon. And we're in good shape weather-wise again. Mostly sunny, hot the remainder of the afternoon. Partly cloudy, should be nice tonight. Low 75, 94 now in Jacksonville.
Joining us now, Corey Lewandowski. He was the former campaign manager for the Trump for President campaign. Great guy, great friend of mine. And he is now a senior advisor to Vice President Mike Pence's Great America Committee, GAC. For more information, you can go to greatamericacommittee.org. And he's with us now. Corey Lewandowski, great to have you with us again. Corey, thank you.
Good morning, John. How are you today?
Never better. Let's talk about the lies the Democrats are perpetrating on the American public through their allies in the legacy media on the catch and release program and the immigrant children being separated from their parents, but only after they've broke the law by coming into the country illegally and they get separated, just like any U.S. citizen that breaks the law and is apprehended with their minor children, they go to Child Protective Services. Can you elaborate on the big lie here, Corey?
John, there's some very, very important things that your listeners have to understand. First and foremost, this policy that is in place was in place and implemented during the Obama administration, and nobody talked about it. Okay, nobody wants to talk about it. Number two, it is Congress's responsibility to change the law. What this administration is doing is saying there is a law on the books, and we are enforcing the law, which is what is supposed to happen. And so it's very simple. If there is a law that you're supposed to follow, this administration is following it. But, John, put this in perspective just for a second. Think if you are a U.S. citizen or a citizen of any country, and you go to another country with your child and you commit a crime. What do you think transpires in that other country when you commit a crime? You go to China. You go to Singapore. You do something with your child. And they say, it's okay. Don't worry. We're not going to enforce the laws, right? Do you remember all the stories of Americans committing crimes overseas? We remember the president just had three basketball players released who were caught shoplifting from a country and were spending time in jail. Remember they were caning American citizens who were doing things in places they weren't supposed to be? The laws of the country are the laws of the country. And if you commit crimes in those respective countries, whether you are with your child or not, those laws will be enforced. And so it's very simple, John. It's as simple as it can be. Do not commit a crime, and you will not be separated from your child. You will not be detained by the police. And don't do you, your family, and your friends a disservice by committing a crime that is potentially going to get you locked up and in custody for an extended period of time. It's very simple, John. This is not complex stuff. I understand it very well. I was a former law enforcement officer.
Right.
I get it. Don't commit a crime, and you don't have to worry about the punishment.
And regardless of what country you're in, if you commit a crime and you're with your minor children are taken from you and put into that country's custodial services while you're processed for the crime. I mean, it doesn't matter if you did this in Australia, Canada, Mexico, China, France. It's all the same. So why should the U.S. be different?
John, this is the globalist argument, right? This is what no one wants to talk about. No one wants to talk about that there is actually a border on the – there is a wall on the southern border of Mexico, right? No one wants to talk about that. No one wants to talk about the fact that if you go into a country illegally – and we've seen this in the Middle East many times where, you know, journalists have crossed over a line illegally. Those journalists are then held in jails – for breaking into country that they're not supposed to be in, whether it's a mistake or not. But the difference is, if you have a child with you, they don't just say, oh, guess what, fellas, it's okay. It was a mistake. Don't worry. You know the risk that you're taking. By coming to this country illegally, you are doing a disservice to every man, woman, and child who has attempted to get to this country legally. Mm-hmm. Every person who has gone through the right system to make sure that their families can stay together. There is a process here for legal immigration. It is clearly defined. We are the greatest country in the world. It is a privilege to come to this country. But by bypassing the rule of law and taking a chance to cross into this country illegally with your child, you fully understand what the ramifications of that are, which is if you are caught, you will be detained, you will be separated from your family, and there is no one to blame but yourself for this.
Well, exactly. And, you know, the other big lie that's going out there, and both senators from Virginia, Democrats Tim Kaine and Mark Warner, put a joint statement out, a bill saying they want to not separate families that are seeking asylum, that was inhumane. But the lie is, if you seek asylum legally, which is at the port of entry, no family is separated. You simply go there at the port of entry. You make application. You have to be interviewed. There's a system we go through. Your family is not separated. You stay with them in the facility designed for that. You got five kids. All of them are there. However, if you cross the border illegally and break the law and then get apprehended because you're hoping not to get apprehended, and then you get apprehended and you say, oh, I want to claim asylum. Well, now you have broke the law. You can't do that. Otherwise, everybody would just come over, get apprehended and say, I want asylum. I mean, it's not the way it works, right?
Well, this is the problem, right? This is how it works. There are many, many people who are potentially being persecuted and have to seek political asylum. I understand that, right? But there is a very clear process for that. And this country, we are the greatest country there is. We understand taking care of people because we have done that our entire existence. But you don't get to have it both ways. You don't get to bring a family across the border, sneak into the country, jump over walls, climb under tunnels, and then once you're apprehended, say, oh, by the way, back home, my life is really not that good, so I'm claiming political asylum. It doesn't work that way. And I can only imagine how difficult it is to live in some of these other places. But the point is, we have to be a nation of laws. Mm-hmm. If American citizens break the laws in other countries, they're held accountable. Mm-hmm. Why is it we're not holding people accountable? Or why is it the media doesn't want to give us the same privileges that we extend to every other country in the world, which is accountability for people who do things illegally in those countries?
It doesn't make any sense. It's not fair. And what you're basically asking for, what the Democrats and some Republicans, it's just not the Democrats, right? There's plenty of complicity here. What they're asking, Corey Lewandowski, is for a two-tier justice system. One justice system for people who come in illegally, and basically they break the law, they get apprehended, but somehow, because they have their children with them, they should get some court of immunity, and they're just caught, released, nothing happens to them. The other justice system is for U.S. citizens who, as you just said, if they're apprehended and they're arrested for something, they're separated from their children immediately. That's the way U.S. justice system works. They're put in child protective services. So basically what the Democrats are advocating is a two-tiered justice system, one for people that are here illegally and are not citizens, and the other one, worse, for U.S. citizens. How does that make any sense?
John, it doesn't make any sense. And think about it. Look, we see these stories all the time. American citizens who have drug problems. I mean, you know, we've seen this many times. Children left in cars while their parents are out doing drugs, right? You know what happens to the American citizens? They are separated from their families because the parents have broken the law and they have to be held accountable. You know, parents who are out robbing, stealing, committing crimes every day. You know, as a police officer, John, which I was, I don't say, hey, it's okay that you went and did something illegal. You must have a child at home, so I'm not going to prosecute you. Of course not, right? What happens is when you break the law, there are consequences. And I understand, I truly do, that the optics are terrible, right? The optics of what they're doing are terrible. But the mainstream media, John, did not want to talk about this under the Obama administration. And when they were called out originally, and you remember this, it was just a few weeks ago, there was a picture, I believe it was from a New York Times reporter, who tweeted it out and said, look at these cages that the Trump administration are keeping people in. It was actually during the Obama administration. Then they took the tweet down. There was no apology. And you saw, once again, you know, the reporter who sneaks into the White House briefing room yesterday to play the audio, okay? This is so absurd, the pro-Republica reporter who's doing this. Where was the outcry during the Obama administration? Because that's what this policy is, and it's very simple. If people don't like it, they need to get in touch with their elected officials, the congressmen and the senators who wrote this law that is very clear. And what this administration is doing is following the law, and they're being criticized for it. If you don't like the laws, go and change them. This administration is following the laws.
Here, look, I just got a text here from Stan in Virginia Beach who says, I'm split and separated from my two kids while they're waiting for United States CIS processing in the Philippines. I can't get them here until that paperwork and process is complete. Meantime, I'm separated from them because that's the way the legal system works. Unbelievable.
Well, John, that's exactly right. But you have to remember, look, go back 50, 100 years in our immigration system, okay? Do you know what used to happen? People would come here from every other country, and they'd try to make a living. And what would normally happen is they couldn't afford to bring their family here, particularly when they were coming from overseas. My, you know, great-great-grandparents from Canada and Iowa and Poland and those places. So they would come first, right? The head of the family would come, and they would try and find work. And then they would send for the rest of the family after they came through the process, after they came through Ellis Island or one of those other immigration places and said, look, I've come to the country legally. I filled out the paperwork. I've started to establish myself. I will now send for the rest of my family. They were separated many times for multiple years from mm-hmm. their families mm-hmm. because they were doing it right. There's a process to immigration, and we have to follow it, because if we are not a nation of laws, then we are nothing.
Absolutely. No question about that. We're with Corey Lewandowski. He's a former campaign manager for the Donald Trump for President campaign. He engineered the victory, and he is now a senior advisor with Vice President Mike Pence's Great America Committee, GAC. Go to greatamericacommittee.org for more information. Now, he's also the author of one of the best books written on the Trump campaign called Let Trump Be Trump. Got to read it. It is a must read. Let Trump Be Trump. It's easy to do also. Just go to Amazon or your favorite bookstore. Let Trump Be Trump. Corey Lewandowski. Buy it now. Great read. You're going to pick it up. You're not going to put it down until the end. So, Corey, I've had a few callers today from Trump supporters getting very worried about the fact that the president and his surrogates are losing the narrative, and they're concerned about how this is going to play in the midterms. What say you?
Look, John, the midterms are critical, okay? But you have to look at the totality of what is going on. And the immigration issue is one issue that this administration is focused on. You have to look at what they've done to MS-13, completely decimating it, right? And it's standing up for American families. And one illegal immigrant coming into this country, killing one American, is one too many. But you also have to look at the totality of all of the other things. The tax cuts, the unemployment rate, which is now at 3.8%. The Atlanta Fed has revised and said, we think that the next quarter we could have 4.8% growth, which is a far cry from the 1.2, 1.3 of the Obama administration. Unemployment for African Americans and Hispanics at historic lows. You know, the denuclearization of the Korean Peninsula, which makes the world a safer place. The moving of the embassy in Israel. 2.6 million new jobs created this year alone. We are at full employment in this country for the first time in about 40 years. I mean, it is amazing what this administration has been able to accomplish in the first year and a half. And if the midterm elections are a referendum on Donald Trump and what this country has been able to achieve, then the Republicans are going to win. If the midterm elections are a referendum on Nancy Pelosi and what her vision for America is, we're going to win, because the Democrats have no vision. They've done nothing. But there are some districts out there that we have to understand are going to be very competitive. Some of these House races, a couple of these Senate races, and the Republicans had better be unified, and they better have a solution to the immigration plan. The president is going to Capitol Hill today to talk about immigration. But look, the Democrats have gotten everything that they've wanted from this president when it comes to the negotiation table, in the sense of this. He has said, you give me the money for the wall, and I will find a way to take care of the people who came to this country through no fault of their own. Okay, the quote-unquote dreamers. Mm-hmm. Now, do I love that idea? I don't love it, but I'm willing to negotiate because I want to see that wall built. And the Democrats have said, yeah, we're not funding the wall. So they don't care. They want to politicize an issue. They don't want to solve problems. And this is what the Democratic Party has been about, which is obstructionism and no solutions. And that's why the Republicans are going to do much better than anticipated in the midterm elections.
I think you're right. And you see the president's approval rating in the midst of this whole thing went up to the highest level it's been today. And this is, you know, after an entire week of him getting hammered by the legacy media on the child separation issue. So doesn't that tell you that people are kind of understanding the nonsense now?
John, the American people are so smart. They're so smart. They see through the fake news. They see it all the time, because the fake news, what they want to do is they don't want to report the news. They want to create the news. They want to create their own narratives. And when you go to some of the channels, it is just Trump bashing all day long. But you know what happens? American people wake up and they say, my family is safer because of this administration. I have more job opportunities. I have more upward mobility in a job opportunity. I have more real wage growth. And I see a better path, because, John, you remember this. During the last years of the Obama administration, the discussion was, we will be the first generation to leave this country in worse shape than we got it from our parents. And that is a sad state of affairs. Today, we are going to leave our country in a better position than what our parents gave to us. as my grandparents gave to them. And that's what it's supposed to be. We're here as stewards for our children and making our country safe and prosperous and changing the way the United States is looked at around the world is so critical. And look, when it comes to trades and tariffs, right, this president, John, he's such a great negotiator. You know what he told these individuals, these G7 leaders just last week, mm-hmm. 2 weeks ago?
Mm-hmm.
He says, very simple. You guys don't want to put you don't want the United States to put tariffs on? No problem. I'll make a deal with you right now. No tariffs from you, no tariffs from us, no subsidies from you. We compete, level marketplace, one-on-one, here we go. You know what the world leader said? No, thank you. We're not interested. We're not interested because they know they've been ripping us off every day for 30 years, and they finally know that there is a leader amongst leaders with Donald Trump who's standing up and putting America first. And I love the fact that he's threatening China with $200 billion more in tariffs.
Right.
Because if we don't have access to their marketplace, why should we give them access? When we sell a car to them, it's a 25% tariff. They sell a car to us, it's a 2.5% tariff. When we sell dairy products to Canada, it's a 270% tariff. When they sell it to us, it's zero. That's not fair. It's not fair to the American people. And guess what? Donald Trump is fixing that.
That's the bottom line, and he's standing up to them. And that's why with China, we have a $550 billion annual trade deficit. That's $550 billion U.S. dollars going to China. Who do you think in this negotiation holds the cards? We have the consumers. We're paying them. They're getting U.S. dollars. The president is going to win this debate and argument, no question. Corey Lewandowski, I'm out of time. Thanks for being with us. Hey, got to buy his book. Got to buy it right now. Go to Amazon or your favorite bookstore. Let Trump Be Trump. Order it now. It is a great read, especially with summer coming up. You'll never put it down. I didn't. I've read it two times. Second time, even better. Let Trump Be Trump. Corey Lewandowski and Dave Bossi. Hey, Corey, great to have you. We'll be at the embassy tomorrow. Have a great day.
Joining us now so we can try to figure out what the president is doing here on this executive order is Matt Boyle. Matt is the senior editor, political editor for Breitbart. And go to Breitbart News. Be sure and get their app. Download it from your Google or your TuneIn or your App Store. Go to Breitbart.com and you're going to find Matt Boyle right there. Matt, I really wanted to get you on today. I know you got something, but I just wanted to get your perspective, Matt, really fast here. On the president's executive order, why did he do it? What does it mean?
Yeah, look, here's the deal. I don't think it's as big a cave as people are making it out. Some folks are making it out to be. Like the fact of the matter is that catch and release is not being reinstituted, okay? What the Democrats, what Obama, what the globalist Republicans want to see happen is open borders policies, where if anybody shows up at the border with a kid or at all, they want to be processed immediately and then released out into society, where 6 months, a year, 2 years later, whatever, they have a court date and they never show up. That's what they want. That's open borders policies, catch and release. That's not happening here. What President Trump's order does is it keeps the families together, so the parents and the kids and so on and so forth, in detention centers if they come to the country illegally and try to claim asylum, or if they come to the country illegally while their cases are processed and until they're either deported or granted asylum or whatever the case may be. And what that does is it discourages open borders policies. So what Trump did was he took away the talking point. Sure, I think it was a strategic retreat. Don't get me wrong. I think it was a retreat by the president, but it was a strategic retreat in that he took away the talking point from the left, from the media, he was somehow ripping families apart, right? Which is not what he was doing. He was enforcing right. The laws as they were written. And so the fact of the matter is that what he does is he takes that talking point away while keeping the core of his policy, which ends catch and release, which encourages and promotes illegal immigration.
All right, so we're getting rid of catch and release. My point earlier, and I want to get your comment on it, Matt Boyle, is that I think it was Anderson Cooper on CNN last night said, well, I don't know what the big deal is with catch and release. 70% of the people do show up for their court date, 30% don't, and not that big a deal. My point is, one, 30% means that 30% are just gone. That's a big number to me.
Yeah, and I don't know if I agree with those numbers. I think it's something like a lot higher than 30% that don't show up. But if one person doesn't show up, that's a problem.
Now, isn't the other issue that catch and release is not a deterrent? Because it's like, okay, if I come to the border and I cross it illegally and I got my children, and so what is a fact is 75% are never apprehended.
Right.
They're not apprehended. If you got 1,000 people that are apprehended, that means another 3,000, you never found them, right? They escaped,
right,
basically,
exactly,
into the country.
Exactly.
But there's no – catch and release doesn't offer deterrent.
It's securing the border.
Exactly. Right.
And so the fact of the matter here is that the policy was never that we wanted to, like, be inhumane and separate families. In fact, it was Barack Obama who did that in 2014, if you remember. It was our own Brandon Darby, our Texas editor, who got the photos of the Obama administration doing this back in 2014. Okay, we know that it was kind of started under Bush a little bit. It wasn't those guys that were – it isn't Trump that did this, okay? Trump's the one who's fixing it. What he's trying to do is get to a place where we actually have enforcement. We actually have enforcement of our immigration laws to deter illegal immigration. And so that means that catch and release is over. It's done. If you get caught at the border coming in illegally, you will be detained and you will be held in a facility until such time as your case is adjudicated. That doesn't deal with the people that are still getting through. That's why we need the wall. That's why we need more Border Patrol agents. That's why we need more judges. That's why we need more ICE agents and so on and so forth. And why we need to increase our interior enforcement mechanisms and so on and so forth. But ending catch and release is a huge deterrent to illegal immigration. Ripping families apart, that's not the goal here, okay? Like, that was never the goal. That's a lie by the left. That's a lie by the globalists to try to attack and smear President Trump for his successful enforcement of immigration policy, which, by the way, we've seen has led to lower unemployment numbers and rising wages. So Trump's economic nationalism is working on a day-to-day basis. And so what Trump did with this, and again, it is a strategic retreat, but what he did is he took away the talking points from the left. They're unable to now smear him, and he gets to keep the core of his policies and enforcement and march forward into the next stages of this battle.
You're exactly nailed it, Matt. That's why I wanted to get your time and get you on. That is exactly what he did. And again, catch and release is not a deterrent, because if you come across the border illegally and you're caught and all that happens to you is you get a piece of paper with a court date in 6 months, that is not a deterrent. What is a deterrent is you get detained until you're processed for a period of time. And then if things don't work out for you, you're put back on the other side and you have to get repatriated. That's a deterrent. Catch and release is a magnet, as far as I'm concerned. So I think the president did the right thing. I want to get your final comment on this. Democratic mayor of Atlanta, Keisha Lance Bottoms, just signed an executive order last night forbidding Immigration and Customs, that's ICE, from placing detainees in her city's detention center. So basically, if you're in Atlanta and you get found and arrested by ICE, you can't put them in an Atlanta jail. So ICE has nothing to do with them. They just,
wow.
Where do they put them?
I haven't seen the Atlanta mayor's comments, but that's one of the most extremist things I've ever seen. It's so far outside the mainstream. I highly doubt the great people of Atlanta and the good people of Georgia are going to go for this. I think this will be a major deal in the Georgia governor's race, which I think is coming up here pretty soon. I know both candidates. I've talked to both of them in the Republican primary, Casey Cagle and Brian Kemp, and I know that both of them are very interested in stopping sanctuary cities, and it sounds like this is like a sanctuary cities on steroids.
Exactly. Really what it is. So if you're with ICE and you do apprehend somebody that's here illegally, you have nothing to do with them. You just got to – they can't go to jail. Because now you've got a mayor in the city of Atlanta, Georgia, saying, I'm not going to let those go in my jail.